out there with that cough. I'm right there with you in the coughing department. And the allergies are among us, right? And on top of us and every which way. And someone said, well, you just need to move to the mountains or to the desert or something else. I don't know. There'd be something to get you out there. Amen? Yeah. Scorpions and snakes will carry you off out there. So it's, you won't have no sinus problems, but you had to be stomping on scorpions and snakes everywhere you turn. My goodness, there they are, my glasses. I looked down at the Bible and it was just a blur, amen? All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we're going to begin reading here in verse 23. And just take 23, 24, and 25. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. I apologize for the nasal tone to the voice and the little bit of cough we got going. But we'll try to get through it together. Amen? Amen? Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 23. If you found that this morning, would you say amen?
Amen.
The Word of God reads this. It says, if any man have ears to hear, let him what?
Hear.
Let him hear. Verse 24, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. I think I've got your attention now. Amen? Yeah, I want to hear this. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. Amen? All right, Brother Irvine, you lead us in our prayer. We'll get to preaching here. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. You may be seated. Well, here we go. Jesus continues on with His advanced course. Remember, the basic course was the course of the parable of the sower. That was the basic. Now He's gone on into the advanced. In the advanced, there were four parts to the basic course. There are four parts to this advanced course. We're in the second part. We're in the parable of the measure. He's bridging from the parable of the candle or the lamp, depending on what translation that you have, and he's going into the parable of the measure. And if you read this through, if you're just looking at this, maybe studying this, if you don't slow down a little bit just to take your time and spend a little bit in these three verses, you'll completely miss the parable of the measure and the important truth that it has for the Christian today. I will say this to you. Some of you sitting here, this will probably land right in your lap or come down on your toes or slap you upside the head or whatever euphemism you need to use. But if you're sitting here today and you're thinking in your heart of hearts, in your mind's eye, if you're thinking, you know, I just don't get treated fairly. Well, number one, I would tell you life is not what? Life ain't fair. But I'm just not being treated kindly. Well, let me tell you something. You may be holding all that up. You may be able to turn that around. And we may even get to the point here, and let's just say this, if you're doing everything that you know to do, everything that you need to do, and you're still being treated unfairly or unkindly, listen to this. There are persecutions of the saints. There are trials and tribulations that come against us. And so sometimes, despite our best efforts and God's leading and the Holy Spirit and all of those things, we're going to have problems and issues. But for some of us here, we may be causing the problem. I want you to think it through with me as we go on. This parable of the measure is given in the form of a conundrum, or riddle, if you will. Some is more and little is none. Some is more and little is none. As in the parable of the sower, those who receive the seed under conditions that bring it to full growth reap the benefits of a multiple harvest. But those who reject the seed, or those who lack the qualities to bring the seed to maturity, they lose all the value of the truth. Now, this is not a real long message. Praise God. We might get home before the rain hits. Amen? But it does have 3 points. Point number one is this. Listening well is the foundation for measuring well. Listening well is the foundation for measuring well. Look at verses 23 and 24. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. As we look at the Word of God, as you read the Old Testament, study the New Testament, as you go to Sunday school, different Bible studies, listen to Christian radio, get on some Christian TV, be careful with that, but you know what I'm saying? You listen to solid folks teaching the solid Word of God all throughout the Bible, certainly throughout the four Gospels. We're in the Gospel of Mark here. Three things are stressed over and over again in regards to our listening to the truth. The first thing is stressed is this, that we should hear or listen and not refuse to hear. Now, I'll give you some examples. This, that's refusing to hear. Amen? This, refusing to hear. Somebody got their phone? Phone? Man, I wonder how the Astros did last night. I'm going to text my friend. Let's see here. I'm going to do some shopping while he preaches. Amen? Because when I trim my fingernails, trimming your fingernails is not listening, by the way, too. When I trim my fingernails, he always looks in my direction. So I'm going to text. That's refusing to hear. Make sense? Right? That's refusing to hear. You mean, Pastor, you can hear me trimming my fingernails all the way in the back of the sanctuary? I can. It's like nails on a chalkboard. Amen? But that's all right. You trim them out in the parking lot. And you can throw them on the carpet. Sis will vacuum them up. But just do the trimming stuff out there. Amen? All right. That's refusing to hear. We should hear or listen and not refuse to hear. The second thing stressed throughout the Gospels, throughout the Word of God, is what we should hear over against what not to hear. Oh, so very important. Man, the stuff that's out there today. Man, oh man, if you're not sure, if what you're listening to on Christian radio, if what you're listening to on Christian television, what you're listening to at this Bible study at another church or at another group, if you're like listening to that and then you're coming here, or you're listening to that and then you're coming to Bible study here, or you're listening to that and coming to Sunday school, and you're thinking, man, something ain't right here. Something don't go together. What is missing? Friend, you better come talk to a deacon or your pastor or a Sunday school teacher. You may be getting led astray a little bit, right? Over and over again in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, certainly in the four Gospels, what we should hear over against what not to hear. And then finally, the third thing stressed, certainly in the Gospels and throughout other places in the Bible, how we should hear attentively, how we should hear judiciously, how we should hear, friend, compared against how not to hear. Now, I'll be honest, before God got me, before He saved me, before He convicted me unto sin, church was a chore. Anybody ever been there? Man, church was a chore. Ron, was it a chore for you? Oh, man, good night. This guy, Walker was his name. He was pastor at First Baptist Terrell, and he was transitioning from East Texas, coming to Duncanville. His son was a great football player, and he wanted, I don't know why he wanted to put him in Duncanville High. We didn't have much of a football team back then. But anyway, he did, and he was quarterback, and he was our pastor at Fair Meadows Baptist Church. This guy could preach the bark off a tree, man. He could scald the dog. He was a preacher, man. And I'd be sitting there about where Ronnie is, and I'd just be daydreaming. I'd be, oh, man, is this ever going to end? Please, Lord, get me out of here. Football's coming on, man. The Cowboys, he's going to mess it up. I'm going to miss the pregame, man. You know, right? Golly, how we should hear attentively Oh, Pastor Lee, before salvation, didn't do that much. How we should be listening judiciously, amen? Compared against how not to hear. Well, let me ask you the question. Why such a great emphasis on hearing and listening to specific, truthful information in an attentive way? What's the big point? Well, in the immediate context, the answer is clear, which leads me to point number two. Number two is this: how you measure is how you are measured. How you measure is how you are measured. Look at verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. And he goes right into it. Right into the parable of the measure. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. You see that? When a person is constantly listening to what he should not be hearing. Oh, man. You leave here and, you know, I go to New Hope to get my social fix, but, you know, when I get out of here, I'm going to listen to my real preacher. Right? And you sit down and you turn your little TBN on and you get your wackadoo theology about how if you just rub God just right, he's going to pay out, man. Oh, boy. It's going to be great for you. Right? Friend, I want to tell you, you're missing the boat. You're missing it. When a person is constantly listening to what he should not be hearing. Another one, for example, malicious gossip. Oh, you're listening to malicious gossip. I don't care who you're listening to malicious gossip about. Just the fact that you're listening to malicious gossip. Let me tell you, malicious gossip. You listen to that, and the person hearing that will begin to wrongly measure people in general. You mean if I hear If I listen to malicious gossip about Brother Roger, do you mean I will begin to judge you wrongly, Pastor Stephen? That's what I'm saying. You mean if I listen to malicious gossip about my coworker, I will begin to judge James Trevathan wrongly? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. When we begin to listen to that junk, malicious gossip. It's quiet in here, isn't it? Well, this is when I can hear the snap, snap of the fingernails, right? And my hearing's not great, but there's just something about it. Man, when we do that, when we open our minds to that, when we open our ears to that, we will measure people wrong. Oh, we will judge rashly. And we will condemn. We'll condemn them. In other words, hearing wrongly produces a lack of accountability. It's fair to hold each other accountable to the Word of God. Amen? It's wrong to condemn them as I've got no use for them, or I can't do nothing with them, or I'm just out. I'm just out of it, right? Hearing wrongly produces a lack of accountability and a condemning spirit. Friend, you don't need to be carrying around a condemning spirit. Amen? Who are these people? Let me ask you this question just as a sidebar. But who are these people alluded to in this passage as Jesus teaches? I don't expect you to say it out, but think about it. Who are these people alluded to in this passage as Jesus teaches? I think it's this. I think it's the Pharisees. I think it's the Sadducees. I think it's the scribes. I think it's the religious leaders of the day. Oh, they've been running Jesus down. And that's all they can do with Jesus is condemn him, because they've been running him down. That's all they can do with the disciples is because they've been running him down. That's all they can do with people that are following the way. They're getting into this Christianity. They're getting into this gospel. They're listening to it and getting saved. That's all they can do with it is push it aside and not hear it. See, when a person is listening correctly to the Word of God, when a person is listening correctly to the preached Word of God, when a person is coming to Bible study in Sunday school and listening correctly, oh, friend, to what they should be hearing, the tendency is to be kind. The tendency is to be kind. You know anybody that's unkind today? Probably comes down to what they're not listening to and what they are listening to. A person who is listening correctly, he will judge favorably. He will make opportunities for growth. He will give constructive criticism where constructive criticism is due. But he will follow it up with love, with affirmation. He'll love folks through offenses. Amen? He'll take delight in giving credit where credit is due. How we listen determines what we measure out to others and consequently what we receive back from others. You act unkind, don't be surprised when people are unkind to you, friend. You act kind, and folks will reciprocate kindness back to you. This is what I'm telling you today. You cannot outmaneuver. You cannot sidestep. You cannot trick this spiritual law of reciprocity. What you sow is what you get. I think some of them pagan religions call it karma. They didn't invent that themselves. This is a principle based on the Word of God. What you sow is what you get. Now, praise God for me and you. There is an exception to the rule. Amen? It's a good one. There's a good exception to the rule. I can share it with you right quick. You can be lost without Jesus Christ. You can be measuring out nothing but sin, nothing but vile, nothing but cursing, nothing but this, nothing but that. The wrong stuff you can be measuring out. And today you can receive Jesus Christ, as He measures you back with grace and mercy. Because, you know what? God took His Son Jesus and He measured you on the cross. But you don't get that today because of what God did to His Son. You get the benefit of it. Amen? That's the one exception to the rule. Amen? Friend, if you're lost today, you can get saved today. Amen? Because Jesus Christ is here to give you grace and mercy. He's paid for it with His life, with His blood. It's available to you. Amen? Well, number three, and here we are. Number one, listening well is the foundation for measuring well. Number two, how you measure is how you are measured. Number three, measuring well. Oh, you reap a bonus. Everybody say bonus? Oh, we all like that word. Measuring well and reap the bonus. Measure not. Measure wrong. Don't even get in the game to measure. Forget about measuring and lose all. Measure well, bonus. Don't measure, measure wrongly. Lose it all. Verses 24 and 25. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. I'm in verse 24. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. Mo. Everybody like mo? Mo be given. Right? Amen? For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. Ouch. I think I want to measure well. If I'm going to measure well, I better be listening well. Amen? Because I really want to measure well. That bonus is looking good. Amen? Measure well and reap the bonus. Right? When we think about God's gifts, isn't God gracious? Isn't God an awesome, gracious God? He's always most generous to us, is He not? Oh, He's a giving God. Amen? That's why we should not be afraid to talk about tithe in the altar, talk about an offering on top of the tithe, talk about sacrificial giving. I remember my first pastor, and I was talking, man, I was just all over it, just all over stewardship, all over getting with it. And we had practiced stewardship, you know, our married life, but we were young marrieds. We hadn't done it for like no 40 or 50, 20 or 30 years. We were just getting started, but at least it was something we were doing, and I felt I could preach on it, amen? Real difficult to preach on kids back then because we didn't have any, amen? And I did, and I've apologized since for preaching on kids. You know, you get some kids and you find out, wow, right? But anyway, the stewardship. Amen. And I was talking to this dear brother, father of four boys. He's gone on to be with the Lord, Brother Longhofer, and three or four boys, good men, all of his sons. And I was talking to him about sacrificial giving, and he said, Pastor, this is back in the mid-90s. Oh, Pastor, he goes, we don't practice sacrificial giving anymore. Oh, we just kind of tip our hats, tip our Lord. It's all about tipping. No longer do we get into sacrificial giving. That's one of the reasons the church is in the situation it's in. Amen? You go down to Lakewood. Lakewood's all about you getting. But you know what they have in their sanctuary, in their ginormous coliseum? They have people spotting new folks. Did you know that? And after you've been there a few times, you know what they want to saddle up on you? They want to saddle up on you a donation envelope. Amen? Why? Because any church, no matter where they off in left field or right field or somewhere in the middle, they've got to have what? Money. Wow, we can say that today. Amen? That's normally a bad word. Things start flying. Shoo, shoo. Amen? Praise God, we can still say it here. Amen? Money, tithe, offering, all those sacrificial giving. Amen? How did I get on? Oh, it's right here in the Bible. Yeah. God's gifts are always most generous. Oh, God is forever adding gift to gift, isn't He? He's always giving favor to favor. He's always throwing on us blessing to blessing. He gives not only of His riches. You know, people that have a lot of money, billionaires, millionaires, you know, it's nothing for them to give $1,000, to give $5,000, to give $10,000. Wouldn't that be nice to get in on the receiving end of that, right? But it's no big deal for them to give like that. But God gives differently than a millionaire might do when He gives $1,000 or $10,000 or $15,000, $20,000 to charity. God's different. Amen? Listen to these verses about how different He is. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood." Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Well, my God's rich in grace. Amen? And He gives it. John chapter 1, verse 16. This is in the contemporary English version. I just could not put this in. It is so good. John 1, 16. "Because of all that the Son is, we have been given one blessing after another." John 1, 16. Micah 7, 18 in the Old Testament. "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy." And He gives it. Amen? Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that came unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Jesus prays for us. He gives us of His mercy. He showers upon us grace. Isaiah 65:24 says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, it says, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Merciful, gracious, listening to us, making intercession for us. What an awesome, gracious God we serve. Amen? As we look at the Bible from Genesis all the way through Revelation, "More shall be given to the faithful." That's the catch. More shall be given to the who? Faithful. You're listening. Amen. That's a good thing. More shall be given to the faithful. That is a theme that runs throughout the Bible. In Genesis, when Abraham's servant asks Rebekah for a drink, she not only quenches his thirst, but in addition, she also quenches the thirst of the camels. Amen? Are you spiritually thirsty this morning? I want to tell you, God's got His trough for you. He's got His hose ready for you. He's got the mug ready for you. God is ready for you to drink of Him. Amen? He is ready to pour it on you today. Amen? In 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 9 through 15, God not only grants Solomon's wish for wisdom, but in addition, he promises him riches and length of days. Amen, church? In Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, Jesus not only accepts the centurion's request to heal his servant, but in addition announces a blessing upon the centurion. Well, we think about my life, we think about your life, and it's this God does, but in addition to, God also does. Amen? In Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, Jesus not only answers the plea of Jairus restoring his daughter to life, but in addition sees that the child gets something to eat. Always in addition when it's my God. Always in addition. In Luke chapter 24, verses 33 through 48, the resurrected Christ not only fulfills his promise to meet the disciples in Galilee, but in addition meets and blesses them even earlier in Jerusalem, because that's what kind of God he is. Amen? Romans chapter 5 all the way through Romans chapter 8. God not only pardons the sinner as the governor might grant pardon, but in addition, he adopts him. He adopts the sinner. Amen? He adopts the sinner. He grants the sinner peace. He grants the sinner holiness. He grants the sinner joy. He grants the sinner assurance. He grants the sinner freedom of access to come to him. And he gives the sinner super invincibility. Amen? That is my God. That is your God. He is a gracious God. Amen? A giving God. He's always wanting to add to, give more, bless here, bless there. It would just be faithful. Faithful. Those that receive the bonuses are sometimes initial listeners. Or sometimes first time at the dance folks. You know, they walk the aisle. And they've listened. And they've not allowed the birds of the air, not allowed the demonic to take the gospel seed. They've latched onto it and they've received it into their hearts. Sometimes those that receive the bonuses are initial listeners that are faithful. And sometimes long-time saints that receive the bonuses receive them because they stay the course of God's truth. Amen? Well, it's one thing to come to Christ. It's one thing to walk the aisle and get baptized. But where are you? Where have you been a year after that? Where are you 5 years after that? Where are you 10 years after that? Where are you 20 years after? Where are you 30 years after that? Where are you 40 years after? Have you stayed the course? Amen? Some of these guys in here and ladies and some of these couples, they've stayed the course. And they're reaping the bonus. Amen? We should be excited for them. Amen? We should be, man, just woohoo! That's what's coming. If we just stay the course. Still pain in the course? Yes. Still tragedies in the course? Yes. Still heartache in the course? Yes. But it doesn't outweigh God's faithfulness. Doesn't outweigh His blessings. Doesn't outweigh His joy upon joy, blessing upon. Doesn't outweigh that. Amen? Oh, sometimes we think it do, but it doesn't. Right? Long-time saints, they stay the course of God's truth. We can praise Him for His generosity, amen? We can praise Him for that. And also, you know what we can praise Him today for? Our capacity. Our capacity to listen to Him. Because that's really what we're coming down to, friend. Our capacity. See, you've got those that will listen well, that will meet out well, that will be measured well in return, and then what they have will be added unto. But on the other hand, you have others that are faithless with the truth. You have others that are faithless with God's Word. You have others that turn a blind eye to it. The Word of God says here, they lose the truth. They lose it. What are you telling me, Pastor Lee? I'm telling you this. In matters spiritual, in the economy of salvation, in the economy of your discipleship, in the economy of things spiritual. Standing still is impossible. Standing still is impossible. A person either gains or a person loses. You gain or you lose. You don't get to put it in park. You don't get to throw it in neutral. You don't get to say, I'm just going to take a sabbatical for, oh, I don't know, the next 7 years or the next 10 years and come back to God's place, come back to God's house and say, okay, well, I guess I'll just pick up where... No, you won't pick up where you left off. No, you won't. You've lost it. The disciples, with the exception of Judas Iscariot, had accepted Jesus. Praise God, the disciples. Referencing them, Jesus was later going to say to the Father, this is what Jesus says about these disciples in John chapter 17, verse 6. This is what he says. He says, Jesus, saying to God the Father, and they have kept thy word. That's what he says about them in John 17, 6. 10 verses later in John 17, verse 16, this is what Jesus says about these disciples. He says, they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Wow! Isn't that amazing? My soul! The disciples' faithful hearing was accompanied by many weaknesses, by many errors, by many flaws, but the beginning had been made. They were faithful with the gospel truth. They had accepted it. They had received it. They had attempted to live it out despite all of their failings. Faithful listening. Faithful listening assures you further progress. It doesn't assure you no problems down the road. It doesn't assure you no tragedies in life. It doesn't assure you this or that, but what it does assure you is further progress. Spiritual progress. An advance in knowledge. It's so good to know God's Word and to know more about God. Amen? It's so good. Get more knowledge to get more love. It's so good to know God's Word and to hear God's Word and to be grown in the love of God. Amen? To get more joy, to have more holiness, to have more peace and gratitude and servanthood and, yes, even more sacrifice. Salvation is an ever-deepening stream. It's kind of like walking out there in the Gulf. First sandbar, not too bad. Get between the first and the second. Little deep. Get back up on the second. Not too bad. Walk a little bit further. Ooh, it's a little bit deeper. Get up on the third. Woo, it's about up to here, man. It's about up to here. I'm going off the third. Whoa, it's over my head. It's deep. Find the fourth one out there. Stand up. And the buddy, you get past the fourth one. You went over your head, man. Yeah. That's salvation. You start off and, boy, when is this thing going to deepen up? Well, you just stay the course, buddy. It's going to deepen up. Amen? You just stay the course. God's Word's going to deepen up. Your walk is going to deepen up. Salvation's going to deepen up. That discipleship's going to deepen up for you. Just stay the course. Amen? Just stay the course. Every blessing is a guarantee of further blessing to come. Be reminded what John 1:16 says, because of all that the Son is, we have been given one blessing after another. Well, how do you beat that? One blessing after another. So the disciples had accepted. Hopefully you today have listened well sometime in the past and have accepted. But there may be some of you here today, you've not really been listening well. Boy, you're struggling. You're struggling in your life because you know what? You've not been listening well in what you give to people, how you deal with folks, how you measure them. Not very well. And consequently, you're getting that back. So you need to work on your listening so that you can work on your measuring so that you will be measured well in return. Some are here today. Friend, let me tell you, it's time to respond to the gospel message. It is time, oh, I've been motivated to listen. He said things about bonuses. Oh, friend, this is the time to listen and let the truth take root in your heart and in your soul. And let salvation have you today. Amen? Others just need to come and pray. Others may need to come and say, hey, this is where God wants me. Others may need to come and say, I've received Christ, but I've never been baptized as an act of obedience. It's your opportunity to come. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll pray it out and start our invitation. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for the truth of Your Word. We thank You for the power of it. Lord, we thank You for the person of the Holy Spirit in our midst here this morning. We thank You for a congregation, Lord, that's come to listen, that's come to hear. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would apply, would mold, would make, would help, would salve, and would solve, and would just further folks further down the road with You. Lord, help us let go of some of the stuff we do. Some of the things, some of the crazy stuff we do and believe and think that have no basis in Your Word. Lord, help us get back on the straight and narrow. Help us get back on the narrow path. Oh, Lord, help us tell others about You. We've got the truth. May we be good stewards of it. It's in Your name we pray. Everyone said? Amen. Let's all stand as Brother Jeremiah leads us in this time of invitation.